The Entrepreneurista League is here. You told us what you wanted. Exclusive game-changing business-boosting content, members-only events to network and connect, the opportunity to have your story and business featured on Entrepreneurista.com, the chance to promote your business to our audience on the Entrepreneurista social channels. Your wish has been granted. Introducing the Entrepreneurista League. When you join the Entrepreneurista League, you will get access to our private community of entrepreneuristas who are making an impact in business every single day. Whether you're looking to scale your business, meet potential investors, make exciting business building connections, or finally take the leap to launch your business and share the candid reality of building a business from the ground up, we are here to give you access to a community of women who will celebrate and support you every step of the way. Applications are open, so head over to entrepreneurista.com/join for a special offer. That's entrepreneurista.com/join. We can't wait to welcome you, support you, and be the best part of your business growth.
Other women who had gone through this similar experience before me could give me advice or share their experience. And I have to say, there's just so much generosity of spirit where I'd put out a question and people would share their experience or get on a phone call with me to let me ask very specific questions about the numbers in their business and how much equity they got and why they decided on that. And there is no right or wrong answer. I think you really have to determine those kinds of things for yourself, but understanding what others have done before you really goes a long way into helping you make a really smart decision for you, for your own business.
Shauna Armitage is the co-founder of Odo, a fintech startup that helps people safely grow their wealth. She's also a fractional marketing director, guiding founders at all stages of growth in developing an impactful marketing program. Shauna works with companies of all sizes to plan and implement strategy for scalable growth. Coming up, Shauna shares how she became an entrepreneurista by accident, her early lessons from working at an agency, how being fired fueled Shauna to start her own business and find her niche in marketing for early stage startups, how Shauna finds clarity around which clients to take on, and finally, you'll hear Odo's mission to provide loss-protected investing to grow your wealth. This is the Entrepreneurista Podcast, presented by Socialfly.
It's the best business meeting you'll ever have, with must-hear real-life looks at how leading women in business are getting it done
and what it takes to build and grow a successful company.
It's beyond the gram.
With no filters,
no limits,
and plenty of surprises. Shauna, I am so excited to sit down and finally have this incredible conversation all about your entrepreneurista journey and story. And I love chatting with fellow marketers as well. I feel like there's so many learning lessons, especially now building an audience and platform and community. So thank you so much for being here. Excited to chat more.
I'm excited too. Thanks for having me.
Shauna, did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Tell me a little bit about your background.
Not even a little bit. You know, I hear about all these entrepreneurs who were selling lemonade and had hustles as kids. I was always very ambitious, but I wanted to be a teacher. I like to be in front of the room. I like to be creative and put materials together for other people. And that is what I went to school to do. I got my degree in 3 years and didn't do great on my teacher exams because I'm not a great test taker, and panicked, went back to waiting tables, decided to not do teaching because the testing was too scary, and went back to school for professional writing. And when I graduated with that degree, The world was collapsing around 2011, and I couldn't even get anyone to look at my resume. So I started working on, I feel like I'm going to date myself a little bit here. It was called Elance back in the day, more commonly known as Upwork today, and started freelancing as a writer. And I started getting into marketing, and that's kind of where I moved into the marketing space. But after a bad experience working with an agency, I felt like I had gotten the skill to go out and do it on my own. And I always say that I'm an entrepreneur by accident, because that was never the plan.
That's so interesting. So I think you described me as a child who you were not. I was selling lemonade, and I was literally selling everything and finding all the trends, and kind of knew I was going to go down that route at some point. But I did work in the corporate world first, like you were sharing, had a job working at an agency. And similar to you, you know, I feel like my corporate experience, I learned so much about what to do and what not to do before I started our first business. What were some of the things that you learned from working in the corporate world and working in this agency that you took to then launch your business, or didn't take?
So interestingly enough, I mean, the world has been changing so much just over the past couple of years. The way we work in the past 10 years has changed drastically. I never actually worked in the corporate world. So through Upwork, I ended up getting a full-time job with a marketing agency, but they didn't have an office. Like, they were 100% remote, just like I was. So while I would love to have some of that, you know, juicy corporate experience on my resume, I have a very different experience. And with the agency world, I found that things weren't clicking. You know, they had their blueprint, they had their way of doing things, but it wasn't working for all of the clients. And I learned pretty quickly that I was more concerned about doing something that was going to move the client forward than just onboarding another client and going through the motions. And that's where I kind of lost synergy with the agency that I was working at, and really thought that there had to be a better way to help businesses, because I was in love with marketing. I thought there had to be a better way to do it. And that's kind of where I split.
So what did you do first to launch your business?
So to go back a little bit, when I say separated, I was fired. I had left a full-time job and took this dream job with a mentor of mine to be his number two. And the more business we were getting, the more we were growing, he was hiring friends from his community. And all of a sudden, we were spending more time doing Instagram videos than we were actually doing things like a landing page for the client. And when I was talking to him about this, he didn't appreciate the pushback, and he told me so. And about 6 months in, I woke up, I remember it like it was yesterday, one Friday morning, went in to log into my email, and my email was gone. I had no access to my email, my files, anything. He said he would call me in an hour or two. And he basically said, "You're not a culture fit anymore. I'm sorry." And I had no job. And I had three young kids at home. And my husband was leaving for his first 6 month deployment. My husband's in the military, 3 weeks from them. I was just devastated. And I had, you know, a weekend to cry and feel sorry for myself. And then just kind of realized that this was probably the best thing that could have happened for me, because I wasn't taking that leap on my own. You know, having that solid, and you know, the air quotes here, solid, it always feels solid when somebody else is paying you paycheck, really kept me motivated to stay, even though it was a job or a place I didn't feel passionate about working anymore. And that really pushed me into saying, okay, I can do this. I can do this for myself. And I want to do it better. I want to do it with more integrity. I want it to be client focused, relationship focused. And I kind of built out my packages, just saying, you know, you pay me this amount a month and I will be your fractional marketing director, and I'll run all of the things. And I remember my husband, who is very supportive, but he's like, "Honey, is anybody going to pay you that much to do this fractional thing?" So I don't know, but I'm going to try. And it turns out they will. And I, within the first year, I found that my niche was really early stage startups. There were these companies that didn't have the money to hire somebody full time, but the agency model wasn't really a good fit for them either. They wanted someone on their team who was dedicated to them. And that's the role that I really filled for the early stage startups.
I love how you were able to take an experience that probably wasn't so pleasant and turned it into something incredibly positive for yourself and for your future. How did you figure out in the beginning what to charge your clients and exactly what to offer?
So I didn't, is the honest answer. I started charging my clients what my old boss was charging them for about the same services. It was just kind of a different level of service that I knew that I was providing. I knew that people would pay for it, right? There were businesses out there that could pay for it. So that is how I picked my initial pricing.
For startup founders that are thinking about starting a service-based business, like a consulting or marketing business, what were some of those early learning lessons as you were taking on some of those first clients?
Two of the biggest lessons for me is when you become an entrepreneur, especially for a small business, for a service-based business, you are now all the things. I wanted to be a marketer, but now I was a marketer. I was doing HR and payroll. I also had to do sales and finance and all of these other things that weren't in my wheelhouse and I didn't necessarily want to be responsible for. And I had to take them on, learn them, or I had to be thoughtful enough to say, I'm not doing this, I'm hiring this out, and figure out strategically, you know, where those things were lying. So that was one of the big lessons that I learned in the beginning. And the second one, and this, it probably is going to sound so generic, but you know, not everyone is your ideal client. And I was living in Colorado Springs at the time. It has a thriving, wonderful small business community. And I was going to all of these events and luncheons and meeting people and networking. And it was a wonderful experience, but these were not the kinds of businesses that needed my solution. And it took about a year of going and working in co-working spaces and kind of just serendipitously being in front of these different startups that had a different model, had different values, had a different timeline for their marketing, for me to realize that that was really my place. And I had to start putting myself in the rooms with those kind of business owners instead of the ones I was hanging out with.
That's such great advice and really important. And again, going back to, you know, when Courtney and I started our first agency business, Socialfly, like in the beginning, you kind of like take whatever clients come your way and you just kind mm-hmm. of figure it out. But then when you start to get real clarity on who that right fit is for your business and who you really serve, that's when things can really blossom and take off and you're able to take that business to the next level. And it's amazing you're able to figure that out in such a short amount of time, because a lot of entrepreneurs, it can take a long time to really get to that, you know, even in the service business, that product market fit of what makes sense. So are you still running that business? Because I know you've now started another business, which I want to chat about and hear all about, but are you still running the fractional marketing business as well?
I do have some clients for the fractional marketing business. And funny enough, it's that business that led me to this business. So I do that fractional marketing work for clients, but every once in a while you have that client that says, I need a CMO. I need somebody on my team full time. And I've had those opportunities before. And a mentor that I had early on said, you know, never work for equity, right? If it's not your idea, don't work for equity. And a couple years in, so last year, I met this gentleman who is now my co-founder, who was looking for a marketing co-founder. He knew that he didn't have the expertise in that area and that he needed that person to be able to fundraise and take things to the next level for his idea. So I think a connection of his was posting it in Facebook groups that they were looking for this person. And I said, oh, you know, it sounds like me. I'd love to chat with him. 2 days before our call, he messages me and said, This was going to be a salaried position. I had a super angel that was going to put in $500,000 into the business, and he just backed out. So if you don't want to take the call, I completely understand. You know, there's no money on the table. But from the very beginning, what he was building just interested me. And honestly, I was the target market for it. It resonated in my own life. And it's something that I wanted to bring into the world. I feel like it's so important. So I signed on as co-founder and joined the Odo team for the first time.
That's so exciting. Congratulations. And
thank you.
I definitely can relate and understand with my other business market that we were chatting about for a minute before we started recording, definitely a similar situation. And I know it's a lot to figure out in those early days, especially when it's not initially your, you know, idea or someone else has started the company, and then figuring out, you know, how do you negotiate your equity and figure out what you're responsible for. And if you're still running your business, you know, how do you divide your time? So would love to kind of talk about all the things, because I do think a lot of times service providers do get offered equity for their time and their services, or they get offered, you know, cash plus equity. We had those offers on the table all the time with Socialfly, and really evaluating what actually makes sense and then what, you know, what you should entertain. I know you just shared that, you know, you were really passionate about this idea, but how long did it take to really come to like a deal with your co-founders, and any advice you can share about that process?
Yeah. So Porter and I are co-founders, and he was really the one that I had to impress. Honestly, it didn't take very long. And I had some great mentorship, I'll say, not directly. You know, I had had these opportunities come up before and I had never taken them. So I was aware of these kinds of things, but I never felt strongly enough about an idea where I was going to say, yeah, I'm going to go in full time and not get paid just so I could bring this business into the world. And this was the first time where there was no question in my mind. I absolutely wanted to do this. So, you know, we looked at the numbers, my husband and I, you know, how much are we making? How much is the marketing consultancy making? Can we swing this for a year or two while you build? And we decided that we could. So that kind of opportunity, risk, cost, we really evaluated. And then in terms of coming to an agreement with my co-founder, I had no clue, right? So I was looking into Facebook groups, founders groups, where other women who had gone through this similar experience before me could give me advice or share their experience. And I have to say, there's just so much generosity of spirit where I'd put out a question and people would share their experience or get on a phone call with me to let me ask very specific questions about the numbers in their business and how much equity they got and why they decided on that. And there is no right or wrong answer. I think you really have to determine those kinds of things for yourself, but understanding what others have done before you really goes a long way into helping you make a really smart decision for you, for your own business.
No, that's such great advice. And one of the reasons why we launched our Entrepreneurista League community, so women have this platform to be able to connect and ask these questions. Even in our community, I host office hours every month, so women can come and ask me these questions, anything that they have in mind, or ask for introductions, because that's how we're all able to really learn and grow together and hear from each other's experiences to help us make these informed choices, so we're not going in blind. And also why we have these podcasts, to share these stories like yours. So now, you know, our women who are listening, or our listeners who are listening right now, can really hear about, you know, how you were able to do it, because many people are in your shoes as well. And it's definitely so important to learn. Coming up, the behind-the-scenes process of building Odo's launch strategy and waitlist. Hey, Entrepreneuristas. Did you know that each year, PNC celebrates women business leaders by hosting Women in Business Week? This year, Courtney and I had the opportunity to join the lineup of keynote speakers to share our story of growing and scaling our business, the power of community, and so much more. You can watch the replay of our webcast or listen to any of the Women in Business Week webcasts to hear from incredible women leaders on a variety of topics, from managing your money to branding and so much more. Head over to pnc.com/business webcasts to catch the replay of the event. That's pnc.com/business webcasts. For our listeners who do not know what Odo is, can you share a little bit more about the platform?
Yeah. So at Odo, we are building something truly unique. We have a wealth gap problem in the United States, especially. And one way that we know that people can grow wealth is through investing. But there's three big reasons why people don't do it. So they don't feel like they have enough money, right? There's not enough disposable income. And even people making $100,000 or more a year still feel that way. And then there's also the decision fatigue. This is my personal story. When I had enough money to start a retirement account, it was so scary. I don't know what the hell an index fund is, or a mutual fund, or what is it called? A stopgap. You know, there's all these different things. And I'm a mother of four. I'm running a business. I don't have a lot of time to research these things and make an educated decision. So decision fatigue is a big thing. And there are things that address those two out there, right? We've got robo-advisors. We've got companies like Robinhood or Public, where you can buy fractional shares, so you don't need $1,000 to get started. But the big thing that nobody seems to be addressing is fear of loss. Investing is scary. If we don't have money to play with, the idea of putting it in somewhere where you're going to lose money, you might make money, you might not. It's really scary. So this fear of loss piece really affects people. It affects women specifically. And it's something that's not being addressed. So when my co-founder came to me and said, I have built a model where we can offer people loss protection on their principal to get started with investing in a way that is safe and they can still grow their money, it was like this light bulb moment. He told me, and I've heard this story many times, as you know, we've talked to investors and we've pitched. His wife is a doctor, and they always get calls where people want to sell them safe investment products. And he said, well, first of all, we're not actually that rich. You know, yeah, she's a doctor, but you know, she's a pediatric eye surgeon. We don't make all that much money. But it was a light bulb moment for him where these products exist for the wealthy. The people who really need them are the 99%. Why aren't we offering these things to the people that really need them? So he built and tested this model to make loss protection available. So that's the first part of the platform. As we're going through this, we're noticing that money is scary for people. Like, how many times a day, how many times a week do you log into your banking app or the app where you do your investments? Probably not a lot. Between money being taboo and or it causing people anxiety, we try not to engage with it as a general rule. And that was why the other kind of part of this platform is a supportive social experience. We call it the Peloton for financial health. So you can engage in challenges, you can get rewards, earn incentives for taking small steps to reach your financial goals or sometimes even other goals. So it makes it a fun, inviting experience where we can support each other and we can also access that loss protected investing.
Well, this sounds amazing. I am sold. I am sitting here on your landing page right now that I'm assuming that you built out, and I am clicking join the wait list. I am getting on your wait list right now as we are recording this. Tell me, here we go. Putting in my email for our listeners to join the wait list, odo.works, odo.works. Is that the best place for them to go?
That's the best place to go.
All right. And I'm clicking become an early adopter. I am not a robot here. All right. I am subscribed. I am now going to be the first to grow my money with you. So yay. Tell me, when does this launch? Is there a launch date already? And what's been the process of building the wait list?
Yeah, that's a great question. So last year, we knew that, especially with the social experience, that we were making a lot of claims, right? Do people actually want a socially supportive platform around their money? So we built a beta. We had an MVP. We ran a beta for 2 months to test it. The answer is they do. So that is where we kind of started the wait list. And we took that data to investors to showcase, like, this is something that is wanted, is needed. So we have a wait list right now. I don't have an actual launch date for you, but I can tell you that there are some really big benefits to being an early adopter. So one of the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to launch our gamified waitlist app. We have these things called Odo Gold, where you can use them to compete in these contests or giveaways for rewards from different partners. We did cash rewards in the beta. And this was one of our beta testers' favorite parts of the beta. I call them exploding Cheerios, because these little yellow O's that explode all over the screen when you consume a financial literacy, you know, education piece, or you contribute to a friend's goal, or you write down what you're grateful for today in one of the challenges. There's so many ways to earn these rewards, or you invited a friend. That's one of the best ways to do it. We are going to be launching the gamified waitlist before we launch to get people to start working towards their goals and to earn that Odo Gold, because we will have a limited amount of spots for the loss protection at launch. So the higher up you are on the leaderboard, the more likely you will have a chance to be one of the first to access loss protection.
I love that strategy and those ideas that you've just shared. So I have a two-part question right now, because I want to talk a bit about fundraising and your fundraising strategy, and also how your marketing strategy and waitlist and this beta has really tied into it. Because I know, you know, firsthand from fundraising, your investors, they want to see, you know, traction, they want to see proof of concept, they want to know that people really want this before they put in their money. But you also have to spend your time, you know, building out that initial tech and beta and figuring out what that strategy is going to be. And, you know, your partner obviously wanted to partner with you because you are a marketing expert and knew how to build audience and community. So I would love to hear first, you know, when you first started working on this platform and building out the marketing strategy, what were some of those initial ideas on how to build out the early adopters and this initial traction? And what would you say worked really well, and maybe some things that didn't work as well that you then tweaked?
I feel like this is such a taboo thing to say, but one of the best things that we did in the beginning to build the beta list was to run Facebook and Instagram ads. You know, I know that the platforms aren't working as well as they used to, and that there's a great push towards organic, but organic doesn't work very well if you don't have a good, solid foundation to start with. And as much as we all think that friends and family is a great way to start, sometimes your friends and family just want to be supportive of you. So they'll, you know, they'll go and take that first step, but they don't actually stay engaged with it. So we needed to find our early adopters, or people who were going to be our very first brand advocates. And we did that through social ads.
Can you share, you know, approximately for our entrepreneurs who are just starting out, want to build out a beta, like what is a reasonable budget to be able to test with to try to build that initial audience? Like, do you feel so you can test with $1,000? Do you need at least $10,000, $100,000? What would you say you learned from that initial test?
Man, that is the trick question, I have to say, because there's no great answer. I think it really depends where, if you are starting like completely from scratch, if you maybe have an audience or you've got people on your email list, that's a great place to start to maybe create a lookalike audience with, like you already have some demographic info. It's really hard when you're starting from scratch because you need some time, and with ads, you need some money to test, and you have to be willing to test. One of the most frustrating things as a marketer and working with business owners, it's hard when you're first getting started because you don't want to lose money. You don't want to be putting money into things that aren't giving you results. But you have to have that mindset that it's an investment into the bigger picture. And that's really what we were looking at in the beginning. It took us probably about, I want to say, a month and maybe $1,000 worth of testing to really hone in on the creative and the audiences, the targeting that were going to give us the lowest cost per lead.
What would you say now? How many months in are you to launching your beta?
So the beta was only 2 months long. Oh, okay. The 2 month period was because we needed to simulate the experience. It wasn't the actual experience where, you know, people were investing in into these custom ETFs, because we needed to prove that part of it before we could go to investors and get the money to pay for the licensing and all of that kind of stuff. So we had a 2 month beta, which was a wonderful experience. And then we were able to take that information into our funding round.
Shauna, what really differentiates Odo from the other platforms that are out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are plenty of ways for people to invest today, right? You know, you could go to a Robinhood, you could go to a Stash, you could go to an Acorns, you could invest. But what's really different about it is A, the loss protection. Nobody's really concerned about solving that fear of loss problem. There is over 50% of millennial Americans that aren't invested, and that's a big reason why. So addressing the fear of loss through loss protection is huge, but I think what is maybe just as huge is the community aspect. All of those are very kind of singular, very lonely platforms. And finance should be fun, and there shouldn't be taboo around it. And it should be more of a community experience. And we are building that experience within Odo.
How are you building it?
So there's a couple different ways. Community is important. And, you know, okay, I use this example all the time when I'm talking to investors about Odo. I give that example about how I didn't have time to research index funds and mutual funds, but what I always had time for was to play bingo on my fitness app, because my Fitbit. I always get my steps in if I was challenged, if I was competing for something. Odo really plays on that fun piece in finance by offering challenges to help you reach your goals. There's rewards built into the system, but it's supportively social. We have community in there, and we have different micro communities in there where you can build your own custom challenges and engage your audience in a more meaningful way.
I love that. So essentially, like with our Entrepreneurista community, if our members get on Odo, we can create our own, you know, Entrepreneurista community within Odo.
Yeah, absolutely. So with community members, for them, any posts that you have within that community will be prioritized on the feed. You'll be able to share goals with one another. And you could say, you know, whatever this challenge is that we're doing this month, whether it's save money to launch a business, or it's going to be take care of yourself and get more steps in this month, because entrepreneurs need to focus on, you know, their own health and mental wellness. Whatever you want to do for your community, you'll be able to work at it together.
I love that. All right. So let's talk about funding. A lot of our founders, many of our founders who have been on the podcast have raised money before and like to share, you know, tips and learning lessons. It is definitely not an easy process to raise money. And definitely as a woman raising money, it can be even harder. And we've seen it in the statistics. So can you share some of your learning lessons from raising money? And is this the first time you've gone out and done a raise?
Mm-hmm. I've supported founders in their raises in the past when I worked as a fractional marketing director. But this is the first time that I was doing all the work. I was doing the pitching, and I mean, I was doing all the work. My co-founder and I were doing all of the work, but for me, it was a first. So it was definitely a very eye-opening experience.
What would you say was the most eye-opening for you?
I remember when I kind of first announced to one of these Facebook groups that I had taken the co-founder position, and I was so excited. And in a group where I found, again, this generosity of spirit of so many women, I felt a lot of negativity. They're like, oh, well, you know, good luck to you. You know, you're not going to sleep for the next 2 years. And, you know, this is such a hard process. And they definitely weren't wrong, but I feel like it was hard in a different way for me than a lot of founders portray it. You have to go in with the understanding that you've got to do the research. You've got to find investors. You can't just like spray and pray. You can't send it out to everybody in the world. You have to do the research to find the investors that are investing into your round size, that your business fits their thesis, that your founding team fits their thesis. And then you have to understand that there's a million other people that are pitching them as well. So you are going to have to do this research and pitch a few hundred investors to get some really solid meetings. And I think it was less frustrating of a process, even though it was a hard process, it was less frustrating of a process because I feel like I went in with that understanding and I was prepared in that way, mentally prepared to handle the fundraising process because I viewed it a little differently. Mm-hmm.
So the fundraising process can be extremely labor intensive, talking to hundreds of investors, keeping all of these conversations straight. Are there any tips that you can share for actually organizing the process? So for our founders that are starting their raise right now, how have you been able to stay organized and other tips that you can share?
I think actually one of the biggest challenges was that my co-founder and I organize in different ways. He has run fundraising processes and raised VC dollars in the past. So he's got like spreadsheets on spreadsheets of all of these things. And his notes weren't enough for me to find that kind of synergy between us and them. So I'd have to go and research them. And it was this whole thing. So I started taking all of that information and actually putting it into a Trello board. So we have the pitch list. I would get, you know, information about their thesis. I would go look up different investors on the team and see whose, you know, history was a good fit for what we were doing, put some information about them in there, go get their emails, and I'd have a whole pitch list. And then if they're ones that he felt passionate about sending the pitch to, he would claim ownership of them in Trello, and same for me. And then as we pitch them, we'd move them down this pipeline that we created in Trello. So they went from pitched to contacted. We have a cold leads one because there's lots and lots of investors that open the emails and just never bother writing a response. There were ones that got back to us. We've got a column for meeting scheduled. We have a column for said no. We have a column for investors that want to stay updated on our fundraising process. I've never really thought myself to be a terribly visual person, but there's so much information going around at any given time. It really helped to have that Trello board, that Kanban style, where you could just see where things were in the pipeline.
Shauna, what are you most excited for launch? Because I know that you've already built up incredible traction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I am most excited for is to getting people in this community and actively moving towards their goals. The beta was just so telling. You know, we were looking at average weekly usage rates at about 67%, which is insane. You know, the retention rates were so high. And we were looking at deposit rates at about 44%, which if you know the fintech space at all, you know, for a similar betas, they are looking at deposit rates of around 8 to 10%. So we thought we were shooting for the moon with a goal of 15%. And why that's so important is because that shows trust. And, you know, we're working with people's money, you know, we're working in the finance space. It's so important. And we really went through jumped through all of the hoops to make sure that this platform was safe and secure, and the beta users were feeling it.
Well, I am so excited for the launch because this is the exact type of platform that I feel I have been looking for. And when you were describing like who the ideal customer or client is of the platform, and I really do feel like that is me and so many of our, you know, entrepreneurista audience and listeners too, because, you know, we're all busy and focused on building our businesses and generating revenue for our businesses and for our families. And there isn't a lot of time to figure out, you know, what to be investing in, what not to be investing in. Like, I just want to have a platform that can tell me what to do and do it for me and that I trust. Yeah. So I love it. So congrats on all you've done so far.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Up next, the importance of being adaptable and persevering through distractions. We host lots of virtual event programming for our entrepreneurista community, and we want to be sure that you are in the know with all of our upcoming events. To get exclusive invites, head over to entrepreneurista.com and sign up for our email list so you do not miss out. You can come to our events to network, to learn, and of course, to get inspired. That's entrepreneurista.com to sign up for our list, and I cannot wait to meet you at our next event. All right, Shauna, this is a fun little segment we like to do. I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions. So the first word or words that comes to your mind, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Describe yourself in three words.
Oh my gosh. Passionate, intense, and smart.
Is there an app on your phone that you cannot live without?
You know what? It's so funny because I can't even remember what the name of it is right now. Hold on. I need to look at it. It's called Fabulous.
Okay.
I love this app. I am a lists person, and even I get that adrenaline rush from like checking off the boxes on my list. So I found this on my phone to help me with routine because, you know, with four kids running a business, routine can be really hard. So that app, I set up a bedtime routine. I can set up a morning routine or an afternoon routine, and it really keeps me on track by popping those things up. And then I remember I have to check the boxes every day.
All right. I have to download this. Fabulous. I'm going to look it up. I've never heard of it. So thank you. I love this segment. I like to learn about all the new apps. Is there a business tool or solution that you've used to grow your business over the years that you cannot live without?
That is a hard one. I think that I wouldn't say that there's a particularly important tool or solution. There's a lot out there that does one thing or another. I think what I would say has been more important to the growth of my business has been the communities that I've chosen to be a part of and give my energy towards.
I love that. Again, why we have our community. It's everything about how we've grown our business over the years. So I love that. All right. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
And finally, do you have a hidden talent?
Do I have a hidden? Oh, you know what? This is actually kind of funny. I'm going to say my hidden talent is travel planning. Back in the day when I started working online remotely, one of the first jobs I got was with a luxury travel planner. And I love travel and never got to do a lot of these trips myself. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but we live in Europe right now. I'm currently in Germany. And as the COVID restrictions are kind of easing off, I've been able to plan some trips. And a bunch of our friends are like, did you just go walk donkeys in Athens? Like, yeah, we went to a donkey rescue and we walked donkeys out in the countryside. And everybody's been asking me to plan their vacations. So I am going to say travel planning is my secret talent.
Travel planning. All right. I think some people are going to end up sliding into your DMs for recommendations for their next trips. All right. Back to our regular questions. I have really important questions for you about balancing or managing, you know, motherhood and your life raising your children and also growing a fast growing startup, you know, similar to you. I have one daughter. So not as many, but I know how challenging it is just with one and managing everything.
Yeah.
Tell me, what are your secrets? How do you do it? How do you manage four little ones? How old are they?
My son is 12 and my daughters are 7, 5, and 3.
Yes. What are your secrets? How do you manage it all?
So for somebody who has a very passionate, intense personality, you know, I like my checklists. I like to get something done. I think one of my superpowers when it comes to balance is giving myself grace, because there are days where I have to take an investor meeting and I am in Germany. I'm up till midnight. And then at 3:30 in the morning, my sleep is interrupted because there's a tiny person crawling into my bed for cuddles. And then, you know, I'm not well rested. Or I could have a big day planned. And this happened a lot this past year. One of my kids was a close contact for COVID and I had to go pick them up from school and keep them home for a week. So just being able to give myself grace and not get stressed out when life happens. Because when you have four kids, life happens a lot. You have to just be able to be like, okay, it didn't go my way and I've got to adapt to that. And I think that that has been one of my biggest superpowers when it comes to balance.
That is so important and definitely a strength, and just being able to say, all right, it's okay, that happened. How can we move forward? I always say, well, tomorrow's a new day. Get to start tomorrow. And that's the beauty of life. So such great tips. And thank you for sharing that. Is there a mantra or quote that you live your life by?
I think I'm not a big mantra person. I think the only quote that I can think of is carpe diem. I have a degree in history. I like all the histories. Seize the day. I think it falls in alignment with that, you know, like every day is different. You do what you can each day, and each day is a new opportunity to do better than you did before.
Absolutely. Is there something you're most grateful for every day?
I have to say that I am very grateful for my husband's job. He didn't go in the military until he was 25. And we had already had a kid. We had already been married for several years. And a lot of our family members didn't love that. You're going to be traveling. Your kids are going to be like far away from family. They're going to be moving all the time. It's not a great way to raise a family. And I found just the opposite. Within our military community, we've created a family of our own that we take wherever we go. And, you know, I got back last week from a 2-week trip to Rome, Naples, Athens, and Santorini. And I can't imagine any other situation where I would have been able to give my children these amazing cultural experiences, give myself these amazing cultural experiences. So while there is a lot of sacrifice, his job in the military has been a wonderful experience for us and given us a lot of opportunities.
That is so wonderful. How long have you been in Germany for now?
It'll be 2 years in August.
And do you know how long you'll be there for, or is it always, you know, unknown where you're going next?
It's always unknown where you're going next until, you know, until it's known. So it'll be like four, six months before you leave is when you usually know the next place. It's different, I think, for every branch of the military. Right now, we think we have another year to 2 years, but that can all change in an instant. We go where the military needs us to go.
Yes. All right, Shauna, can you please share one last essential business tip that you think every entrepreneurista needs to know before they launch their business?
I think my best business tip is to be adaptable and just keep moving. You know, in the first year of my business, there were so many times where I wasn't making the money I wanted to make and I couldn't reach the customers that I wanted to reach. And if I hadn't fought through that and continued to make pivots, I wouldn't have succeeded. I wouldn't have gotten to the place where I am now. And I love the place that I am now. So, you know, if you don't love the place where you currently are, you haven't gotten there yet. You just need to push through what feels like distraction and rejection until you find your happy place.
Absolutely. And final question for you, what does being an entrepreneurista mean to you?
I love this question so much. I ask almost the same exact question on my podcast. And it's always so thought-provoking. I think women are powerful. You know, there is so much that we are capable of and in life and in business. And being an entrepreneurista to me really means owning that power and choosing to use it to make a difference in the world.
I love that and could not agree more. Shauna, it has been so incredible having this conversation with you. And I am so excited to watch the growth and success of Odo and be a customer. So I'm here to help support in any way that we can. Where can our listeners find you and follow you? And of course, sign up for the waitlist.
Absolutely. You're going to want to sign up for the waitlist so you can get higher up on the leaderboard. You can do that odo.works, odo.works. And then the best place to connect with me is on Instagram. I'm at shauna.armitage and I love to chat with everybody. So send me a DM and we'll talk.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Shauna. I'm Stephanie, and this is the best business meeting I've ever had. Hey, thanks for listening and leaving us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'd love to stay in touch with each of you. You can listen to all of our latest episodes at entrepreneurista.com and connect with us on Instagram at entrepreneuristas. We'd also love to invite you to join the Entrepreneurista League, our private membership community for trailblazing women. You can head over to entrepreneurista.com/the-league. We'll see you there. Wishing you a productive week ahead.